overview of first 20 chapters of 10th canto. At the end of 9th canto, Parikshit Maharaj encouraged Sukadeva Goswami to speak more details about Krishna's pastimes, because Sukadeva Goswami summarized the glories of Krishna in just a couple of verses. So that was not sufficient for Parikshit Maharaj. How can you summarize? You have summarized the activities of so many kings in the Moon Dynasty in very brief. So, but Krishna's, you should not, although he's appearing in Moon Dynasty, you should not summarize, you should elaborate. So, Sukadeva Goswami spoke 90 chapters of 10th canto. So, that is the connection between the 9th and 10th cantos. The first chapter of 10th canto is entitled Advent of Lord Krishna, an introduction. So Parikshit Maharaj said, you have described the moon and sun dynasties. Now kindly describe the activities of Krishna and Balaram very elaborately. Nivritta tarshay rupagiya manaha bhavoshadhat shrutra manobhiramaha ka uttama shloka gunanuvadat puman virajyata vinapashughanat. So one has to take pleasure in the descriptions about Krishna. And those descriptions are bhavaushadhat. They are like medicine for the disease of material existence. Shrotra manobhiramat. They are very pleasing to the ears and mind. So, taking the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, Parikshit Maharaj's grandfather Arjuna crossed this ocean of Kurukshetra battle. Where there are so many obstacles like Bhishma and others who are like great fish. So it is very difficult to cross an ocean when every now and then there are attacks of sharks. So Bhishma and other great warriors of Kurukshetra are considered like big fish that are trying to obstruct the movement of Arjuna towards the shore of the ocean. So Krishna protected. Krishna's lotus feet acted like a boat, strong boat that protected Arjuna from the sharks like Bhishma and other warriors. So Parikshit Maharaj is expressing his gratitude. So on the prayer of my mother Uttara, Krishna protected me when I was in womb. So I want to hear about his activities very elaborately. So please describe to me. Then he asked a few questions about Krishna. So how did this Balaramji became the son of Devaki and Rohini? He is considered the son of Devaki also and Rohini also. How is that possible? So why the Lord was transferred to the house of Nanda Maharaj? He was born in Mathura. Why did he go to Nanda Maharaj's house in Gokul? Why did he live along with his relatives? Where did he live? And what did Krishna do in Vrindavan and Mathura? Why did he kill Kamsa? How many years Krishna lived with the descendants of Rishni? How many wives did he marry? How many years did he live in Dwaraka? So these are the questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj. So answer to these 8 questions is the rest of the 10th canto. So Parikshit Maharaj also said, I have inquired some things and I also have not asked some things. So whatever I have asked from you, whatever I have not asked from you, you please explain all of them. So a disciple, based on his intelligence, tries to acquire some knowledge from Guru. And he understands that what I need to understand is beyond my understanding. So let my Guru give that understanding. So although I may not have asked some topics, if you think they are beneficial for me, for my spiritual progress and upliftment, you should speak those things also. Don't restrain yourself because I have not asked that. So, drinking the nectar of Krishna Katha, I am not troubled by the hunger and thirst. So, don't worry that I am fasting since a few days. So, you should just focus on speaking Krishna Katha. So, tyaktodam api badhate. Pibantam tan mukham boja chutam harikathamritam. When I'm drinking the nectar of Krishna Katha, hunger and thirst will not disturb me. So then Sukadeva Goswami responded. He said, I thank you very much, because you have great attraction for Krishna Katha and your intelligence is firmly fixed in the spiritual understanding, so I got an opportunity to speak about Krishna. Vasudeva Katha Prashna Purusham Strin Punatihi Vaktaram Pritchrakam Srotrum Stathpada Salilam Yatha. Discussions about Krishna would purify three categories of people. Vaktaram, one who speaks. Pritchrakam, one who inquires about Krishna, like Parikshit here. Shrotram, one who happens to be in that assembly. So all these three categories of people are purified. Now Sukadeva Goswami speaks the story. Once Mother Earth was overburdened by demoniac forces. So many military armies and kings, they were not having a good character, but they were having a lot of strength, physical and military strength. So such kings have become burden on the surface of the earth. So Mother Earth took the form of a cow and approached Brahmaji. So Brahmaji took this Mother Earth, who was in the form of a cow, to the Supreme Lord, and many other demigods were also accompanying Brahmaji and the Mother Earth. So they approached the Lord on the shore of Milk Ocean, and they worshipped the Lord with Purusha Sukta prayers. In trance, Brahmaji hears from Lord Vishnu. So a message came to Brahmaji's mind, and Lord knows of the earth's conditions already, and he promised that I will appear in the dynasty of Yadu. So before that, all of you demigods also should appear in the dynasties of Vrishni and Yadus. Then the wives of demigods also should appear. And Sankarsana will appear as Baladev before me. And Vishnu Maya, Yoga Maya also would appear as that baby girl whom Kamsa tried to kill. So after that I will appear. So Brahmaji announced this message to all the demigods, and he returned to his abode. So that's what has happened. The discussion that happened in the at the bank of Milk Ocean was described. Now, camera to the earthly planet at Surasena. So, Vasudeva married Devaki, and Devaki received, Vasudeva received dowry from Devaki's father, Ugrasena. So there were 200 female assistants and 400 elephants, 10,000 horses, 1,800 chariots were given as dowry at the time of Devaki's marriage. And Kamsa was so affectionate to his sister Devaki, and then he personally started driving the chariot. So as they were moving in the chariot, a omen came from the sky, and that announced that Kamsa, you foolish rascal, the eighth child of your sister Devaki will kill you. Then as soon as he heard that she is going to be the mother of my killer, Kamsa just immediately caught Devaki by her hair and immediately tried to cut off her head. So Vasudev stopped Kamsa. He said, he employed these techniques of Sama, Bheda and Nyaya to pacify Kamsa, to stop Kamsa from killing Devaki by employing logic and comparison and many other techniques. So he did Gunakirtanam. Gunakirtanam means, you are such a glorious person. You are the crest jewel of our entire dynasty. How can you do this? And Sambandha. So we are connected with, we are connected dynasties. So how can you do that? Then like that, Bhoja Yashaskarahayo, if you kill Devaki, that will destroy your fame. How can you kill a woman, that to your sister on her marriage day? Would that be fitting to a warrior like you? So like that, in various ways, he tried to stop Kamsa, but Kamsa wouldn't hear. And Vasudeva spoke some philosophical truths also. So changing of these bodies is like a person walking. Just as a person, when he is walking, he places one foot and lifts the other foot, right? And then puts that other foot next, and then lifts this previous foot. So like that, when body changes, right? Soul changes from one body to another body. So, like, similarly, in dreams also we see so many bodies, and we may forget the current position. So, in the dream, somebody may be haunted by a ghost, but as soon as he wakes up, he is normal. And he must be working on laptop, and then he is sleeping, and in sleep, he will continue to work. After he gets up, the document is not yet finished. Like that. So, similarly, this changing of the bodies is like because of a flickering mind. Mind is so flickering, like a boat in such severe winds, right? So when luminaries are reflected in oil or water, they appear different. Similarly, the soul also appears different in different bodies. So like that, Vasudev tried to pacify Kamsa in various ways. But Kamsa was the follower of Rakshasas. The Sama and Bheda could not affect him. So then Vasudev thought, as long as there is intelligence, one should avoid death at any cost. So Vasudev said, now my immediate action should be to protect Devaki somehow. So let me protect Devaki so that immediate threat will be solved. So for that, I need to promise to Kamsa that I will deliver him the children who are born. So he promised. So you have no issue with Devaki. Only Devaki's sons would kill you. So as soon as the child is born, I will submit him to you. So now release Devaki. Then Kamsa agreed. And Vasudev is like such a satyavadi, he never speaks a lie. So Kamsa trusted Vasudev, although he is so demoniac. So when the first child was born, Vasudev brought the child to Kamsa and then gave him. Then Kamsa said, actually it was not the first child. So according to that Akashvani, it was the second, it is the eighth child that is going to kill me. So you can take this child back. So Vasudev, he agreed, but he could not trust the character of Kamsa. Meanwhile, Narada Muni came and told Kamsa. Basically, Narada Muni's intention is to expedite the appearance of Krishna. That's why Narada Muni kind of induced Kamsa and increased the fear of Kamsa so that he would immediately kill even the first child also. So because of because he was induced by Narada Muni, Kamsa killed the first child, then like that in a series he killed all six children. Otherwise, Krishna's appearance would be delayed. Now Kamsa forgives this child, and Vasudeva and Devaki would raise the child for some couple of years, and then later they may get another child. Like that, by the time eighth child comes, it is not 8 years, it could be 16 years, or it could be 20 years, or who knows. So Krishna, Narada Muni wanted to immediately do this fast. So Kamsa killed the six children of Devaki. So in this context, Sukadeva Goswami says, the greedy kings kill even fathers, brothers, and sisters, and nephews also by being selfish. So Kamsa became very envious of all the Yadus, and he even imprisoned his father Ugrasena. Actually, Ugrasena was not his father. So that story will come in the later chapters in some other books. So once Ugrasena's wife, so he was playing in a garden with her friends. So one Rakshasa named Drumila, so he saw her and he became very lusty, and he transformed his form as Ugrasena and united with Ugrasena's wife. So she didn't know, she was innocent. So later she came to know, this fellow is a Rakshasa, he's not my husband. But by the time already the mistake has happened. So as a result, Kamsa took birth. So Kamsa is the son of Drumila and not Ugrasena. So then Kamsa continued his atrocities. With the help of various demons, Kamsa persecuted the Yadus. And Yadus fled into other kingdoms like Kurus and Panchalas and Kekayas, etc. And some were killed by Kamsa also. So like that, after six sons were killed, Lord Ananta entered the womb of Mother Devaki. So meanwhile, the Supreme Lord ordered his Maya, Yoga Maya. He said, my brother Sankarshan, he entered the womb of Devaki. So you should transfer Sankarshana from the womb of Devaki into the womb of Mother Rohini. And she did so. And he also informed her that I will appear as the son of Devaki and you appear as the daughter of Yashoda. Then the exchange of babies also will happen soon. So ordinary humans will worship you with sacrifices to fulfill material desires. Rama, Sankarsana, Balabhadra. So these are the names of my brother. So you should execute this order. And she did as it is like that. So after Balaramji was transferred to the womb of Rohini, and then Yogamaya entered the womb of Yashoda, then Krishna entered the womb of Devaki. And Devaki was glowing like sun, right? Entire room was getting illuminated because of her effulgence. So first Krishna entered the mind of Devaki, and Devaki illuminated the entire palace. So Kamsa understood the Lord has entered. And the seventh child, when Lord Sankarsana was transferred from Devaki's womb to Mother Rohini's womb, people understood that it was a miscarriage for Devaki. So now Kamsa started thinking, is it the right time to kill Devaki? Lord has entered her womb. And he started thinking that, oh, she's a woman, she's my sister, she's pregnant. If I kill, my reputation and opulence and lifespan would be diminished. And I will suffer in this life also and in the next life also. So Kamsa somehow managed to wait. He decided to wait till the birth of the child. Let me not kill Devaki now. So meanwhile, so many devatas came in the room of Mother Devaki and offered their heartfelt prayers to the Lord in the womb of Devaki. And these prayers are called Garbhastuti. It's very elaborate prayers. So in the overview class, we'll not go into the details of the prayers. So these are all the prayers. So the Lord took birth as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So entire universe was surcharged with goodness. Whenever the Supreme Lord appears, there will be very auspicious symptoms manifested in the universe, manifested in the climate and entire atmosphere and season become very pleasant. And although it was in the middle of the rainy season, still very mild showers are falling and all the planets are in very auspicious constellations. So like that, there was an auspicious atmosphere created for Krishna's descent. There was joy in the heavenly denizens and devas and munis. And Lord appeared like full moon in the night from Devaki. All that was Ashtami day, it's as if it's Purnami. So beauty of Lord Krishna is described by Sukadeva Goswami in this context. And Vasudeva offered beautiful prayers. He said, my dear Lord, you are aloof from creation. You never entered Devaki's womb because you are already there. You are all pervading and you are constantly there at every place. It's not that you have entered her womb. You are already there. And modes are under your control. Like that, he offers various prayers in little Aishwarya mood. And immediately his mood transforms into Vatsalya and he becomes little worried for Krishna's protection. My dear Lord, Kamsa might come and kill you. Like that, in an affectionate mood. So far he was in a servant mood. Now he became superior to Krishna as a father and then he became very affectionate. Same thing Devaki also says. She also says, my dear Lord, everything emanates from you. After annihilation, only you remain. So creation works under you. You are the controller of time also. And finally, she said, my dear Lord, please withdraw your beautiful form. Let you become like a normal child so that I can hide you from somewhere. Hide you somewhere so that Kamsa would not come and disturb you. So I am very anxious for you. So may Kamsa not understand your birth, like that she says. Then the Lord said that you were Sutapa and Prishni and you did severe tapasya for 12,000 years. You desired a son like the Lord. So I appeared as your son, as Prishni Garbha in your previous birth and as Vamana also when you were Aditi and Kashyapa. And now in my original form as Krishna. So Krishna is original. He is the source of all other forms. That point also we can get from the Lord's instructions to Devaki and Vasudeva. So Lord transforms into a small child, baby. And inspired by the Supreme Lord, Vasudev takes Krishna to Gokul from the jail of Kamsa. And all the guards just fell asleep because the Lord has arranged it like that. And Ananta Sesha came and protected the Lord from the showers. So then Vasudev went to Gokul and exchanged the babies. At that time, Yashoda Mata was lying on the bed with a baby girl next to her. And Vasudev kept Krishna there and picked up the baby girl. However, some acharyas comment that Vasudev gave birth to Krishna, then Yashoda gave birth to Krishna, and when Vasudev brought this Krishna from Mathura, this Krishna and Yashoda's Krishna and Vasudev's Krishna merged into one. Like that. Vasudev is also, Yashoda is also mother of Krishna. However, that popularity, Krishna is popularly known as Devaki's son, and Yashoda Mata is only a mother of Krishna who raised him in her childhood, in his childhood. That's all people know. But Yashoda is the eternal mother of Krishna. So Devaki pleads Kamsa. Meanwhile, the baby girl was brought to Kamsa's prison house, and Devaki pleads Kamsa, please, this is a girl, she cannot harm you. This baby is not a boy. So please, protect her. Please don't kill her. But Kamsa mercilessly tried to kill the baby girl. And then he took the baby by her legs and then wanted to just smash her over a rock. But instead of coming down, she went up. She manifested like Durga with so many arms, 8 arms, and with so many weapons, and gave a warning to Kamsa. So the Lord who is going to kill you is already born. And she disappeared. Then Kamsa was struck with wonder. Generally these demoniac people are worshippers of Shiva and Durga, Devi, like that. So understanding that Devaki gave birth to Durga, Kamsa became very reverential towards Devaki. Oh, my sister must be very special. She gave birth to Durga. How could Durga manifest from her womb? So he felt very regretful and then begged forgiveness from Vasudeva and Devaki, and Vasudeva and Devaki also forgive. So Kamsa said, I am like a man-eater. I have 4 second relatives. Even Providence also lies. So Providence said that each child will be killing me, and now each child is not there. Each child is a girl, and then she is Durga, and I don't see any each child coming from your womb. So Providence also must be lying. And Kamsa also took another point seriously. Although the 8th child of Devaki was a girl who was Durga, but still that Durga told that the child who is going to kill you is already born. And must very see. So Kamsa started searching for her, for that boy now, from now onwards. So anyways, he said, I have killed your children mercilessly. So please excuse me, forgive me. And you should understand that soul never dies. I only kill the bodies. I don't kill the souls. So like that, he begged forgiveness from Devaki and Vasudeva. And Vasudeva and Devaki gave up their anger and forgave Kamsa. And Kamsa peacefully returned to his palace. So momentarily, he was overtaken by regret and remorse. And he became a little sorrowful and ashamed of the atrocities he has committed against his own sister and brother-in-law. But as soon as he went to his palace, so many demoniac associates came. And they had a big conversation, big meeting. Satsang, nay, dusang. So, all these people said, my dear Kamsa, that Durga told you that the child who is going to kill you has already taken birth. So, the best idea would be, better we kill all the babies who have taken birth in the last 10 days. So, we'll kill all of them. So demigods are fearful of you, and demigods have nothing to fear. Demigods, like nothing to fear about them. Demigods cannot cause any harm to you. And Lord Vishnu resides in the hearts of yogis, and Shiva had gone to the forest, and Brahma is engaged in austerities and meditation. Indra is devoid of powers. So who can harm you, my dear Lord Indra? So Vishnu cannot harm you. He's hiding in the hearts. And Shiva cannot harm you, he's in the forest. Brahma cannot harm you, he's doing tapasya. Indra is devoid of powers, and demigods cannot harm you. So no one can harm you, but a 10-day-old baby can harm you. So better we kill all of them. So their conversation also doesn't make much sense, if you see it in a logical note. They falsely praise Kamsa, at the same time, you can see fear in Kamsa that he's fearing that someone will kill him. Right? So they can clearly perceive the existence of a higher power, but they don't want to acknowledge it. That's the problem of a conditioned soul. A conditioned soul, although he can understand the existence of someone superior to him, someone intelligent than him, someone who can do things in a better way than him, still his envy and his ego and his stupidity does not allow him to acknowledge such a person's presence. They falsely put themselves on a higher plane than the people who are actually higher than them, superior to them. So the demigods, demigods should not be neglected. They should be uprooted. How to trouble the demigods? So they have made a plan. Vishnu is the foundation of demigods. Vipra gavascha vedascha tapah satyam damah shamah shraddha daya titikshacha kratavascha hare tanuhu. So this brahmanas, cows, sacrifices, tapa, truthfulness, sense control, mind control, all these are considered to be the body of Vishnu. If we stop all these activities, if we cause trouble to devotees and cows and stop sacrifices and all the other things, then Vishnu will be destroyed. They have the right understanding that Lord likes all these things. Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, cows, go Brahmanitayach, that understanding they have. But why? How are they using that understanding? To kill Krishna. One may have right understanding of how things work, how different things work, but if he does not have the right realization, he will use those things only with that understanding for his own sense gratificatory purposes. So Kamsa gave them permission and demons started persecution. Demoniac people are already very much inclined towards nefarious activities. On top of it, they have official approval. So when someone is conditioned to do something, even if he does not have approval or sanction from superiors, still he wants to do those things in a forbidden way, in a secret way. But now they are attached to nefarious activities, on top of it they got approval from Kamsa also, who is their boss. So they started persecuting people. Ayuh shriyam yasho dharmam lokan asisha evacha hanti shreyam si sarvani pumso mahat atikramaha. So if one does mahat atikrama, if one offends great personalities, his ayu, lifespan, shriya, opulence, yasha, fame, dharma, religious principles, lokan, all the wonderful destinations that he is supposed to achieve after this life, asisha, all the blessings that he has already received, all of them are vanquished. Hanti shreyam si sarvani pumso mahadatikramaha. Thus Kamsa dispatched all these demoniac people to kill babies who are less than 10 days old. Now we come to the fifth chapter. Now camera shifts to Gokul. So at Gokul, Nanda Maharaj understood that Yashodamai gave birth to a baby boy, Krishna. So magnanimous Nanda Maharaj was overwhelmed with jubilation. So he bathed, then he purified, and he was dressed very nicely. And Nanda Maharaj called all brahmanas, qualified brahmanas, and performed auspicious ceremonies. And he worshipped the demigods and forefathers, and he donated 2 million decorated cows. And the decorations are not just putting a maha garland on the cow. That's what we do. They put some silk cloth, and the hoofs and the horns are decorated with golden ornaments, golden caps. And they have golden necklaces, or their humps are decorated their bodies are decorated like that. Such decorated cows are given in charity, so many, 2 million cows. So he gave 7 hills of grain in charity. In this context, Sukadeva Goswami says that there are traditional methods for purification. Kalena snana sauchabhyam samskare tapasejaya shuddhyanti danaihi santushtya dravyanyatmatma vidyaya. By the passage of time, land and other material possessions are purified. By bathing, body is purified. And by being cleansed, unclean things are purified. And by samskaras. Samskaras means purificatory ceremonies. One's birth is purified. And tapa, by austerity, senses are purified. By ijya, by worship and charity offered to the brahmanas, material possessions are purified. So these are all the various traditional methods for purification. So by satisfaction, mind is purified. By self-realization or Krishna consciousness, the soul is purified. So like that, Nanda Maharaj performed various purificatory rituals. So brahmanas chanted mantras and singers started singing and dancers danced. And Vraja was completely decorated. Cows and bulls were decorated. Gopas and gopis were also nicely dressed. So there were so many musical instruments that were played. So in happiness, everyone played with milk, curd and butter. So like that, there is holi, right? People throw colors. Now they throw butter and ghee. Patmeda ghee. Now that one ghee bottle is how much? 1200 rupees. 1800 rupees, something like that, right? So like that, they just keep pouring on people. They keep smearing on people. So like that, they play. And Rohini Mai was very happy. So Rohini was staying at Nanda Maharaj's house. And she was the wife of Vasudeva. So when the husband is not around, a wife would not decorate herself very opulently. But still, Rohini decorated herself very opulently when Nanda Maharaj is celebrating Nandotsav, the birth of Lord Krishna. Because she wanted to please Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And she wanted to celebrate the appearance of Krishna. So to serve Krishna and to serve Krishna's devotees is more important than the regular customs of not decorating oneself when husband is away. These are all very important principles that are followed in a regular society. But Rohini gave more importance to celebrating Krishna's appearance and pleasing Krishna's parents like that. So Nanda Maharaj gave a lot of charity. And Nanda Maharaj's house became the place of Lakshmi. So that was the description of Nandotsav. Then, to pay taxes to Kamsa, Nanda Maharaj and some gopas would go to Mathura. So he went to pay taxes and there was a meeting between Vasudeva and Nanda Maharaj. So he also met Vasudeva. And Vasudeva spoke to Nanda Maharaj. First, Vasudeva was very jubilant. He embraced Nanda Maharaj and he offered water for washing his feet. Nanda Maharaj is elder to Vasudeva. And he inquired about the praja of Nanda Maharaj. He did not directly inquire, how is your son? That would be a lie. Because Vasudeva understands that Krishna is my son, not Nanda Maharaj's son. But he is Nandatmaja eternally. But Vasudeva, if he asks, how is your son, then that would be a lie. So he said, how is your praja? He asked in a general way. So we need to understand these finer things from the Acharya's purports, Acharya's commentaries. Then he explained how he is feeling so fortunate for this meeting. Because Krishna was around 6 days old by that time. So Vasudeva just left Krishna in Gokul, but he doesn't know the welfare of Krishna at that time. When he saw the current father of Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, in front of him, he thought, it's a great opportunity for me to know about the welfare of my newborn child who is growing at Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj is raising him like his own child. So then he explained the rarity of staying together. Naikatra priya samvasaha suhrdam chitra karmanam oghena vyuhamananam plavanam surata soyatha. Just like the twigs and leaves and other sticks, the floating objects on a surface of a flowing river stay together for a little time, and because of the force of current, they get separated. Similarly, all the people love each other in this world, they cannot stay together for a longer time. So Nanda loves Vasudev, Vasudev loves Nanda, but they can't stay together. So that is Chitra Karmana. Because of the unique fruitive activity of different people, they come together and they are dispersed according to the will of the Lord. And he also asked about the welfare of the cows. How are your cows doing? Because for the cowherd community, cows are like the center of their community. So the welfare of cowherd community depends on welfare of cows also. So he asked specifically about cows. And he asked about Balaramji. And it's well known that Balaramji is the son of Vasudev. So Nanda Maharaj replied to Vasudev. He said, my dear friend, so I got this benediction of protecting my friend's son. Vasudev's son, Balaram, is being raised by Nanda Maharaj. So it's such a great tribulation that came upon you, Vasudev. 6 of your children were killed. And destiny is ultimately the controller, so we have to surrender to that. So this is Naikatra Priya Samvasa. So like that, there was a meeting, and at the end of the meeting, Vasudev told Nanda Maharaj, I think you should go back immediately. As soon as you pay taxes, you should immediately start to Gokul. You should not delay. Because there could be some calamities in Vrindavan. So you should immediately go back and take care of the situation there. So that was in Mathura. Now come back to Gokul. At Gokul, a Rakshasi named Putana, who was also induced by Kamsa only to kill babies. So she came. She changed her position. So Sukadeva Goswami started narrating this story. So people in any position, actually when Sukadeva Goswami was describing Putana's entrance into Gokul, Parikshit Maharaj became very alarmed. Parikshit said, my dear Sukadeva Goswami, what's going to happen now? Putana is coming. So Parikshit Maharaj also became very anxious of Krishna's protection. Then to console him, to pacify Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami said, Na yatra shravanadini rakshoghani svakarmasu kurvanti sattvatam bhartur yato dhanyasya tatrahi. Wherever the devotional service of Krishna is taking place, wherever people are hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna and performing devotional service to Krishna, this yato dhanis and other witches, black art, all this cannot exert their influence in such a place. So you should not worry. Then he started speaking the story. So Putana transformed herself into a very beautiful lady and entered Gokul. No one could suspect the intention of Putana. She was as good as Goddess of Fortune. Some people thought that Goddess of Fortune came to Gokul to meet her husband, Narayana. Who is Narayana? Is the worshipable deity of Nanda Maharaj. Right? So she came to meet. So like that, different people thought in different ways. And one should not think that because of Putana's maya, all the Vrajavasis were bewildered. Putana never had the ability to bewilder the Vrajavasis. So it is because of Lord's Yogamaya potency, because of Lord's Leela Shakti that Vrajavasis were bewildered. If Vrajavasis are not bewildered and if Vrajavasis had not kept trust on Putana, how would the pastime happen? So Krishna's Leela Shakti influenced entire Vraja community and even Rohini Mata and Yashoda Mata also to trust this Putana. Otherwise, eternal associates of the Lord cannot be cheated by a witch, demoniac witch and Yatudhani like this. So it's by Krishna's will only. So Putana entered. So no one obstructed her. Putana entered the inner chambers of Nanda Maharaj's house and picked up Krishna. Vibudhyatam Balaka Marika Graham. Her introduction is Balaka Marika Graham. She is like the bad planet that can kill the babies. Characharatma Sanimili Tekshanaha. Then when Putana came there, Krishna closed his eyes. So Characharatma, although he is all-pervading, he is the super soul of everything, every atom of this entire universe, still he is Charachara, still he opened, closed his eyes. Anantam aropyad ankam antakam. He is Ananta, but she kept him in her lap. He is Ananta and he is Antaka. He is unlimited. He has no end, but he can cause Putana's end. Antakam. So yathoragam suptama buddhi rajudhihi. Somebody may think that, oh, this is a rope only. They may catch snake, but they think that it is a rope. And they will start playing like this, and the snake will bite. So that's what Putana is doing. Then Krishna. Why Krishna closed his eyes? There are 27 to 28 reasons given by acharyas. You must have discussed that, right, in your regular class. So Krishna sucked the milk of Putana, and along with that, he also sucked the life airs of Putana. So Putana was saying, leave me child, leave me child, leave me child, but Krishna was not leaving. Krishna just tightly embraced and held onto the body of Putana. When Putana fell down, then she crushed so many trees, and Putana could not retain her original form. He retained her beautiful form. She transformed into her original witch form, 12 miles long. So she went and fell on the garden of Kamsa and destroyed that garden. And the bodily description of dead Putana was given. Her mouth was full of teeth, and each resembling a plow. Nostrils were deep like mountain caves. So like that, her entire body was described by Sukadeva Goswami. And all the gopis, there were gopis there. Many men were out stationed. They went to Mathura to pay taxes. So gopis immediately gathered together and picked up Krishna from the body of Putana. And they did not even hesitate to approach that body. They immediately picked up. And Yashodamai was completely shocked. This was the first demon attacking Krishna. Yashoda was completely shocked, and Rohini was equally in shock, so they could not do anything. Then all the neighboring ladies came and they started taking lead in performing so many samskaras and other rituals for Krishna's protection. So they did some rituals, and all these rituals involved the cows, cow dung, cow urine. They applied tilak on Krishna's body with cow dung. They bathed Krishna's body with cow urine. And they started chanting some Nyasa mantras, invoking protection of different deities to protect various limbs of Krishna. So, and they forgot to do Achaman also. After some time they remembered, we have to do Achaman. They did Achaman and then they started doing rituals again. They continued again. So Prabhupada writes that even simple ladies of cowherd community also know how to protect child and how to chant some mantras to invoke protection, just by depending on the cow. So that is the Vedic culture. Everybody knows. Then meanwhile, Gopas came. Gopas were coming from Mathura to Vrindavan, Mathura to Gokul. Then they saw this huge body. From a distance, they thought that, oh, is it some big mountain? Or is it because of the magical spell of some witch? Or is it because we have been diverted from our regular route? Did we go to some other route? So like that, all the gopas were thinking. Then they understood that so and so witch came, and then because of that there was some harm for Krishna also, but Krishna was protected from this whole mishap. Then they cut Putana's dead body into small pieces and they burned that body. Because Krishna touched that body, Krishna embraced that body, all the contamination in the sinful body of Putana vanquished, and when her dead body was being burned, sweet fragrance came out, like agaru. Yalala vanga ghanasara sugandhi tirtham. So there is agaru, then camphor, so that sweet fragrance is coming out of her dead body. So in this context, Suta Goswami says, Putanaloka balaghani rakshasi rudhirashana jighamsayapi haraye stanam datvapa sadgatim kim punashraddhaya bhaktya krishnaya paramatmane yachhan priyatamam kimnu raktastan mataro yatha. Putana was a loka balaghani. She is the killer of babies. She is a baby catcher. She was always hankering for the blood of babies. Rakshasi Rudhirashana. Small infant baby she would catch and drink their blood. So jighamsayapi haraye stanam dattvapa sadgatim. Although she has such malicious intention, jighamsaya, still because she offered her breast, stanam dattva apa sadgatim. She gave her milk to Krishna. It's like a motherly gesture, although there is no motherly motivation, motherly mood, but there was a motherly gesture. So Krishna gave her sadgati. Kim punashradhaya bhaktya krishnaya paramatmane. What will happen to those devotees who worship Krishna with great faith? Yachan priyatamam kimnu raktastan mataro yatha. As mothers who offered him breasts to suck or offered something very dear, as mothers offered something to child. If out of envy, if a woman is giving him milk, she got great destination. If out of love and affection, if someone gives him milk, what will happen? Then next, this beautiful verse comes. Padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam vandhyabhyam loka vanditaihi angam yasyaha samakramya bhagavan api tatstanam. Yatu dhanya pisaswarga mavapajana nigatim krishna bhuktastanakshiraha kimugavonu mataraha. By the lotus feet of Krishna, which are always held in the course of the hearts of yogis, Krishna was stamping on Putana, right? Vandhyabhyam loka vanditaihi, that lotus feet are offered obeisances by great demigods like Brahma, Shiva and other, Indra, Chandra, etc. So now that Krishna is embracing Putana's body. She did not get simple touch of Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna's entire body is embracing Putana's body, and all the Putana is repeatedly telling him, leave me, Krishna is not leaving. What kind of fortune Putana had? Like that. So although she is Yatudhani, she is a great witch, still she attained the position of mother in the transcendental world. Janani gatim. Her gati was that of a janani. Her destination was as good as mother of Krishna. So Krishna bhuktastanakshiraha kimugavonu mataraha. What to speak of all the cows and the elderly gopis of Vrindavan who gave milk to Krishna with such great affection and love. So like that Sukadeva Goswami concludes this narration. At the end he says a few words about Nanda Maharaj's simplicity. So Nanda Maharaj could only understand that, oh, because Vasudev predicted like this it happened. Because Vasudev at the end of his conversation with Nanda Maharaj, he said, you should immediately go back to Vraja. There could be some problem there. So you should not delay. As soon as you pay taxes, you should go back. Because Vasudev understands the political situation there. He understood that Kamsa had sent so many demons to kill babies who are less than 10 days old. Vasudev was aware of it. So he warned, he gave a caution note to Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj, out of his simplicity, he thought that, oh, Vasudev has become like a great yogi, great muni. He could predict what has happened, what would be happening. So that is Putana's episode. The next chapter is Sakatasuras. So, at the end, Sukadeva Goswami gave this Phalashruti. Whoever hears this narration of Putana Moksha, he will attain Rati, attraction towards Govinda. Govinde Labhate Ratim. So, Parikshit Maharaj thought that, Sukadeva Goswami may be concluding this pastime, childhood pastimes of Krishna. So, he became very anxious. I want to hear again. I can't afford to conclude these pastimes like this. So he immediately said, ಏನ ಏನಾವತಾರೇಣ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಹರಿರೀಶ್ವರ ಕರೋತಿ ಕರ್ಣರಮ್ಯಾಣಿ ಮನೋಜ್ಞಾನಿ ಚನಃ ಪ್ರಭು ಯತ್ ಶೃಣ್ವತೋ ಅಪೈತಿ ಅರತಿರ್ ವಿತೃಷ್ಣ ಸತ್ವಂ ಚ ಶುದ್ಧ್ಯತ್ಯ ಚಿರೇಣ ಪುಂಸಃ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಹರೋ ತತ್ ಪುರುಷೇ ಚ ಸಖ್ಯಂ ತದೇವ ಹಾರಂ ವದಮನ್ಯಸೆ ಚೇತ್. ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ದಿ ಸೆವೆನ್ ಎಫೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹೀರಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ಹುಡ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಸ್ಪೆಸಿಫಿಕ್. ಕರ್ಣರಮ್ಯಾಣಿ ಪ್ಲೀಸಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದ ಇಯರ್. ಮನೋಜ್ಞಾನಿ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಟಿವ್ ಟು ದ ಮೈಂಡ್. ಅಪೈತಿ ಅರತಿ ದೇ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಾಯ್ ಅಪತಿ, ದೇ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಾಯ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಇಂಟರೆಸ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್. ಅಪೈತಿ ವಿತೃಷ್ಣ ದೇ ವ್ಯಾಂಕ್ವಿಷಸ್ ದಿ ವ್ಯಾಂಕ್ವಿಷ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟೇಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಈವನ್ ವೆನ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಟೇಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಯು ಮೆ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಏಬಲ್ ಟು ರಿಲಿಶ್ ಇಟ್. ಸೊ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ಸಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ಹುಡ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಮೇಕ್ ಯು ರಿಲಿಶ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಥಾ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಒನ್ ಮೆ ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಇವನ್ ದ ಬೇಸಿಕ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೆಸ್ಟ್ ಟು ಹಿಯರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. ಸೊ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ಹುಡ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟ್ ದಟ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೆಸ್ಟ್. ಸೊ ಸತ್ವಂ ಚ ಶುದ್ಧ್ಯತಿ ಅಚಿರೇಣ, ವೆರಿ ಸೂನ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಕ್ಲೆನ್ಸ್ಡ್. ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಹರೌ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಹರಿ ಈಸ್ ಇನ್ವೋಕ್ಡ್, ತತ್ ಪುರುಷೇಚ ಸಖ್ಯಂ. ಸೊ ಒನ್ ಈಸ್ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ವೈಷ್ಣವಸ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್. ಸೊ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದೀಸ್ ರೀಸನ್ಸ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ವೆರಿ ಈಗರ್ ಟು ಹಿಯರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ಹುಡ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್. ತದೇವ ಹಾರಂ ವದ ಮನ್ಯಸೆ ಚೇತ್, ಇಫ್ ಯು ಆಲ್ಸೋ ರಿಕಮೆಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಐ ಶುಡ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ಹುಡ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್, ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂ ಟು ನೆರೇಟ್ ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಸುಖದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ. ಸೊ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ರಿಕ್ವೆಸ್ಟೆಡ್. ದೆನ್ ಸುಖದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಇಮಿಡಿಯೇಟ್ಲಿ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಎಪಿಸೋಡ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಶಕಟಾಸುರ್ಸ್ ಕಿಲಿಂಗ್ ಡೆಲಿವರೆನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಾಸ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಎ 3 months ಓಲ್ಡ್ ಬೇಬಿ, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಟರ್ನ್ ಆನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಓನ್. ರೈಟ್, ಎ ಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಬೇಬಿ, 3 months ಓಲ್ಡ್ ಬೇಬಿ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದಿ ಎಬಿಲಿಟಿ ಟು ಟರ್ನ್ ಆನ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಓನ್. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ 3 months ಓಲ್ಡ್, ಹೀ ಟರ್ನ್ ಆನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಓನ್. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೆಲೆಬ್ರೇಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಪೇರೆಂಟ್ಸ್. ದಟ್ಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಉತ್ಥಾನ ಸೆರ್ಮನಿ. ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ನಂದೋತ್ಸವ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಸೆರ್ಮನಿ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಲೆಡ್ ಬೈ ನಂದ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮದರ್ ಯಶೋಧ ಅಸಿಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಟ್. ಸಿಮಿಲರ್ಲಿ ದಿಸ್ ಉತ್ಥಾನ ಸೆರ್ಮನಿ ಇಸ್ ಲೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಯಶೋಧಮಯಿ. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಎ ಮದರ್ಸ್ ಈವೆಂಟ್. ಮದರ್ ಸೆಲೆಬ್ರೇಟ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಈವೆಂಟ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಕನೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ದ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ಶಿ ವಾಸ್ ಸೆಲೆಬ್ರೇಟಿಂಗ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನಂದ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅಸಿಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಹರ್. ಸೊ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಅಟೆಂಪ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ರೈಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಟರ್ನ್ ಅರೌಂಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಯಶೋಧಮಯಿ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಗೆಸ್ಟ್ಸ್, ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನೈಬರಿಂಗ್ ಲೇಡೀಸ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಶಿ ವಾಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಬಿಸಿ ಅಟೆಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದೆಮ್. ಶಿ ವಾಂಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ವೆರಿ ಪರ್ಫೆಕ್ಟ್ಲಿ. ಸೊ ದಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ಲಿಟಲ್ ಸ್ಲೀಪಿ, ಹಿ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಯಾನಿಂಗ್. ದೆನ್ ಯಶೋಧಮಯಿ ಟುಕ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇನ್ ದ ಕೋರ್ಟ್ ಯಾರ್ಡ್ ಬಿಹೈಂಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಎ ಬಿಗ್ ಹೌಸ್ ಹೋಲ್ಡ್ ಕಾರ್ಟ್ ವಿಚ್ ವಾಸ್ ಲೋಡೆಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಯುಟೆನ್ಸಿಲ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಮೆಟಲ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಎನಫ್ ಸ್ಪೇಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಮದರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ ಬೋತ್ ಟು ಗೋ ಅಂಡರ್ ಇಟ್. ಸೊ ಯಶೋಧಮಯಿ ವೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ಸೈಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮೇಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸ್ಲೀಪ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮೇಡ್ ಶ್ಯೂರ್ ದಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವುಡ್ ಪೀಸ್ಫುಲ್ಲಿ ಸ್ಲೀಪ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಶಿ ಎನ್ಶ್ಯೂರ್ ದಟ್ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಸ್ಲೀಪಿಂಗ್ ಪೀಸ್ಫುಲ್ಲಿ ಶಿ ಕೇಮ್ ಔಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂ ಟು ಅಟೆಂಡ್ ಟು ದ ರಿಮೈನಿಂಗ್ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಸೆರೆಮನಿ. ಮೀನ್ವೈಲ್ ಎ ಡೀಮನ್ ನೇಮ್ಡ್ ಉತ್ಕಚ ಹೀ ಎಂಟರ್ಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕಾರ್ಟ್. ಸೊ ಜನರಲಿ ಹೀ ವಾಸ್ ಎ ಗೋಸ್ಟ್, ಹಿಸ್ ಬಾಡಿ ವಾಸ್ ಮೇಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಏರ್, ಹಿ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಎ ಗ್ರಾಸ್ ಬಾಡಿ. ಸೊ ದೇ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಎ ಗ್ರಾಸ್ ಬಾಡಿ, ದೇ ಕೀಪ್ ಸರ್ಚಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸಮ್ ಗ್ರಾಸ್ ಬಾಡೀಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೇ ಎಂಟರ್ ದೋಸ್ ಬಾಡೀಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೇ ಮೇ ಡೂ ವಾಟ್ ದೇ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಡೂ. ಸೊ ಹಿಯರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಉತ್ಕಚ ವಾಂಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಕಿಲ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ಹಿ ಎಂಟರ್ಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಹೌಸ್ ಹೋಲ್ಡ್ ಕಾರ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ಫಾಲೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ನೋಟಿಸ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ವಾಂಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಕಾಲ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಮದರ್. ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾರ್ಮಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎನ್ ಇನ್ಫ್ಯಾಂಟ್ ಬೇಬಿ ಟು ಕ್ರೈ ಫಾರ್ ಮದರ್ಸ್ ಮಿಲ್ಕ್ ಆರ್ ಮದರ್ ವೆನ್ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಹಂಗ್ರಿ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಗಾಟ್ ಅಪ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಸ್ಲೀಪ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಕ್ರೈಯಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ಮದರ್ ಯಶೋಧ ವಾಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಬಿಸಿ ಅಟೆಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದ ಗೆಸ್ಟ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಶಿ ಕುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕಮ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್, ಶಿ ಕುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಕ್ರೈ. ಸೊ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಾಂಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಮೇಕ್ ಎ ಬಿಗ್ಗರ್ ಸೌಂಡ್. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಿತ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಬೇಬಿ ಫುಟ್ ವಿಚ್ ವಾಸ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ 3 months ಓಲ್ಡ್ ವಿಚ್ ವಾಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಪ್ರವಾಲ ಧಾತು ಪ್ರವಾಲ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಟೆಂಡರ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಎ ನ್ಯೂಲಿ ಗ್ರೋನ್ ಲೀಫ್. ಸೊ ವಿತ್ ಸಚ್ ಎ ಸಾಫ್ಟ್ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫುಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಟಚ್ಡ್, ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಮಿಯರ್ಲಿ ಟಚ್ಡ್ ದಿ ಕಾರ್ಟ್. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಥ್ರೋ ದೇರ್ ಲೆಗ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಏರ್, ರೈಟ್? ಸೊ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಟಚ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಟಚ್ ದಟ್ ಕಾರ್ಟ್ ಓವರ್ ಟರ್ನ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಫೆಲ್, ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಯುಟೆನ್ಸಿಲ್ಸ್ ಫೆಲ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ಡೀಮನ್ ಡೈಡ್, ಉತ್ಕಚ ಡೈಡ್. ಸೊ ಶಕಟಾಸುರ ಡೈಡ್. So that made a huge sound and Yashodamai came there. And she was very much worried. Oh, what happened to Krishna? But she was happy that Krishna was safe. And some of the boys who were playing there, they said that, oh, we have seen Krishna kicked this cart and then it overturned. And nobody gave any importance to what the small children said. Oh, these boys, what do they do? What do they know? So then Nanda Maharaj called all the Brahmanas, and Brahmanas said, don't worry, we will take care of your son. We will chant mantras for his protection. So like that, Brahmanas chanted mantras. And Nanda Maharaj also was very happy, and he trusted the power of these Brahmanas. These Brahmanas are not just mere Vedic Brahmanas, they are very, devotional, they are devotees. So their blessings would never go in vain, because they have no malicious qualities like envy, anger, pride, greed, like that. So they don't have all that. So their blessings are always effective. So that is the end of Sakatasura episode. Now another episode called Trinavarta. This happened when Krishna was 1 year old. So when Krishna was about 1 year old, Mother Yashoda was taking him on her lap, and then she was caressing him, and then she kind of lifted him also up in the air. Krishna wanted to go high. So this Trinavarta was sent by Kamsa to kill his killer, his future killer as usual. And Trinavarta was searching for babies, and then he came to Krishna, and he came in the form of a whirlwind. So Krishna was as light as a feather till now, but Krishna increased her weight that Yashodamai could not bear his weight. So Yashodamai kept Krishna on the ground, because she thought that if I keep this child on the cot also would break, because he's as heavy as a mountain peak. So she kept him on the ground. And because of the influence of Lord's pastime potency, his yogamaya, Yashodamai just went inside to call some Brahmanas, and she was absorbed in her household duties. She could not come back. Meanwhile, Trinavarta came. So this is Krishna's plan only, because Krishna wanted to go high. And he was using Trinavarta to go high, but he never wanted Yashodamai to suffer because of Trinavarta. So he somehow managed to keep Yashodamai outside of the scene, and Trinavarta came and then caught Krishna, and Krishna became like light, like feather now. When wind comes, all the feathers and leaves would just go, fly, right? So like that, Krishna also flew in that whirlwind. So then Trinavarta caught Krishna and then took him away, took him 800,000 miles high. Meanwhile, in the Gokul, all the Gopas and Gopis, they were very much anxious of Krishna's absence. Because of the whirlwind created by Trinavarta, there was Raja and Tama. Raja is all the dust particles. Tama is darkness. So because of this whirlwind, lot of dust raised, and then everything became very dark. People could not see each other. People could not even see themselves. People could not hear what the other person is speaking. So Trinavarta kept all these Vrajavasis in such a desperate condition, and nobody could see Krishna, and Yashodamai fell like a cow who lost her calf. So she fell down, and then all the other gopis, elderly gopis who were also having equal amount of affection for Krishna, they also surrendered Mother Yashoda, and then they also started crying. So meanwhile, the dust of Trinavarta's whirlwind settled down, and all the gopis started crying, and gopas are also very anxious. And going up, Krishna went 800,000 miles high, and he gave darshan to all the heavenly damsels there who wanted to see the beauty of Krishna. And Krishna suddenly increased his weight, because Krishna became aware of the torture and aware of the distress that all the Vrajavasis are undergoing. So they came. Krishna wanted to come down. So he increased his weight. He became as high as mountain peak. So Trinavarta could take Krishna so high because he was light like feather. Now when Krishna increased his weight, Trinavarta could not bear that weight and he wanted to throw Krishna away. So Trinavarta wanted to throw, but Krishna is not going. Just like it is common for small babies to hold to something very tightly when they are just lifted up. So Krishna is also becoming very fearful of the height, and then he just caught Trinavarta's neck very tightly and he was hanging from his neck like a blue locket, hanging from his neck. So Trinavarta is unable to bear the weight, Trinavarta is unable to throw the child. So he was so desperate and his neck was choked up completely. He could not speak a single word. So although he is feeling pain, he was deprived of the ability to scream also. So just like Vrajavasis were undergoing the similar pain, they were anxious of Krishna, they are unable to search where he is. So they were unable to see anything around. So Krishna kept Trinavarta also in such a predicament, and Trinavarta just fell down on the ground. He fell right next to all the gopis who were lamenting there on a boulder, and all his bodily limbs were dislocated, but Krishna was very happily playing on the chest. All the gopas went and picked up Krishna, and they brought, gopis went. They brought Krishna to Yashodamai, and they were not giving Krishna to Yashodamai. Yashoda, you have no right to touch this child. Because who left that small baby on the ground unattended? How can you do like that? Then Yashodamai very innocently said, no, I was taking care of him only, but he became as heavy as a mountain peak. So I could not bear his weight, that's why I kept him on the ground. I went to call the brahmanas. Then all the gopis said, don't lie, Yashodamai. So your child is as light as a flower. How can you say that he's heavy like a mountain peak? Then Yashodamai became so morose, and then she cried and she said, after so many years, Supreme Lord, Vishnu. So the providence gave me only one child, and to that one child only so many problems are coming. What should I do? So I will go to the kingdom of fearlessness if I have an opportunity, and I will stay with my child there. But all the Vrajavasis were astonished at this event, and they thought that, this is a great wonder that this man-eater, Purushada, although he came to trouble Krishna, he himself has died. And Krishna is so innocent. Balo nivrittam gamito abhyagat punaha. He has returned without having been killed or even injured. When someone is falling from 800,000 miles height, there should be some little injury, right? But Krishna was not injured even to the slightest extent. So, himsraha swapapena vihimsitaha khalaha. This villain Khala, he himself was troubled because of his papa, his sinful activities. And Krishna is a sadhu, he is very innocent boy, so he was protected. One day Mother Yashoda fed Krishna milk, and when Krishna yawned, Yashoda saw the universal form within Krishna's small mouth. So her heart began to throb, and in astonishment she wanted to close her eyes in restlessness. So this was a small incident where Krishna showed universal form to Mother Yashoda. But an elaborate description of this event when Krishna actually ate some mud will come in the next chapter. So after some time, Nanda Maharaj received Gargamuni. So Gargamuni came to Gokul, and Nanda Maharaj said, Mahad Vichalanam Dronam Ghrinam Dina Chetasam Nishreyasaya Bhagavan Kalpate Nanyatha Kochit. So great personalities go to different homes only to purify the householders. They only want to benefit them. So they have no other purpose other than benefiting the householders. So you have come here, so please perform this reformatory activities for my two sons. So then Gargamuni had a concern. He said, if Kamsa knows that I have done your Namkaran ceremony for your sons, He may take steps to kill Krishna. Then Nanda Maharaj said, what you say is correct, but we will do it in a secret way. Let's go to Goshala. Cows cannot report to anyone. And this Rohini and Yashoda also will not speak to anyone. And these two boys, what do they know? They don't know anything. And of course, I will not reveal it to anyone. So let's do it in a very secret way. So they all of them went, five of them went. Two mothers, two children, and this one, Nanda Maharaj and Garga. So only six of them were there in the scene, along with some cows. So he did Namakaran ceremony. First he named Balaramji. Ayam hi Rohini putro Ramayan suhrdo gunaihi Akshasyati Rama iti Baladhikyad balam viduhu Baladhikyad. So this boy is very strong. He is the son of Rohini. So I name him Rama because he gives enjoyment to everyone and he is the supreme enjoyer. So his name is Rama. And because he is very strong, he has extraordinary strength, he is called Balarama. And also, he is the one who brings Yadu dynasty and this Gokul together. His name is also called Sankarsana. Yadunam apruthak bhavat Sankarsanam ushantyapi. So, he united two families. Then Gargamani did the naming ceremony of Krishna. This boy, small boy Krishna, so he appeared in white color, red color, yellow color in the past, yellow color in the future basically. So now he is appearing in black color. Sometimes he also appears as son of Vasudev. So he has many forms and names. He protects your Vrindavan from various calamities. So I name him Krishna. Yayatasmin Mahabhagaha Pritim Kurvanti Manavaha Narayobhi Bhavantyetan Vishnu Pakshan Ivasuraha. He says, those are fortunate people who have little affection can overcome the enemies and demons like demigods have Lord Vishnu. So Gargamani departs. Then Sukadeva Goswami describes the crawling pastimes of Krishna. They are another beautiful, pastimes. Just in five verses, he covers the crawling pastimes. So Rama and Krishna began to crawl by the strength of their hands. Jayanubhyam, Sahapanibhyam. They were using their knees and they were using their hands. Just they were crawling like this. They were crawling in the muddy places of Vrindavan, which were filled with cow dung and cow urine. So an ACT fellow may say that they are all very dirty places. But that's the place where Krishna was playing. Right? Cow dung and cow urine. They were crawling like serpents. Sometimes they would go to other gopis who were doing their household activities and then catch them by their cloth. And when the gopis turn, they will realize that, oh, this is not my mother. They will become very fearful and then run away from there. Or crawl away from there. So they thought that they are mother. Sometimes they would go to small calves and then catch their tails, and the calf would become a little fearful and then she runs away. Calves runs away. Then Krishna is dragged. Krishna just more tightly holds to the calf's tail and the calf would run away and all the gopas would start laughing. So Krishna is dragged in the dust of Vrindavan, mixed with cow dung and cow urine because of this soft dust of Vrindavan. And gopis also become a little anxious. Oh, Krishna should not have any injuries because of this calf's running and being dragged by the calf. So then Yashodamayi and Rohini, with great affection, they would pick up Krishna and Balaram and feed them their milk. They enjoyed the transcendental bliss upon seeing the beautiful teeth of Krishna when he was just drinking milk. So Krishna grew up a little bit and he started stealing butter from the houses of gopis. And all the gopis came to Yashodamayi to complain on Krishna. Basically their intention is that Krishna is performing such enchanting stealing activities in our houses and that's giving great pleasure to us, and the only reason why all the gopis would make butter and buttermilk and keep yogurt and milk in their house is so that Krishna would come and steal them. So they are waiting for Krishna. When would Krishna come to my house to steal? But they reciprocate in a different mood to relish the pastime. So they were thinking that Krishna would come to our houses and then perform the stealing activities, but he would never steal in Yashodamai's house. So she is deprived of this fortune. She is unable to enjoy this transcendental pleasure of seeing Krishna stealing butter in her own house. So let's go and give her also this pleasure in the form of complaints. So all the gopis would come and tell Mother Yashoda, so your boy is coming to our house and then stealing. Actually, Yashodamai had more fortune than the gopis, because the gopis only saw Krishna stealing butter. But Yashodamai heard the description of Krishna stealing butter from the mouths of gopis who had a lot of affection for Krishna. So seeing the activities on one level, but when that activity is described by a devotee who loves Krishna so much, then the relish of the hearer is increased more than the person who is directly witnessing it. That's why Sukhamukhayad Amrutadrava Samyutam, Krishna's pastimes are already nectarian, but when Sukadeva Goswami spoke those pastimes, they become even more nectarian. It's like fruit is already sweet, but when a parrot bites, the flavor of the fruit would increase. Like that. So Yashodamai was hearing all these pastimes of Krishna, naughty pranks. So the gopis would say, your son sometimes comes to our houses and releases the calves before milking. And when we chastise him, he smiles and he devises so many plans to steal butter and milk and curd. And he divides them amongst monkeys. And if monkeys, because their bellies are full, they are unable to eat, then Krishna would just throw this butter in our houses, and then he would say, even monkeys don't eat your butter, useless butter. And then he runs away. And if there is no opportunity to steal, if we hide it in a different place, he becomes agitated and he would go and pinch small children, small babies. So, and if we hide it in a different spot, or if we hang it to the ceiling, then somehow he would manage to put some wooden planks and then reach there through the help of his friends and then steals them, or he would break the pots. So, and if we keep all of this butter in a very dark room, Krishna would enter the dark room and illuminate the room with his bodily effulgence and the ornaments that he's wearing. So light is automatically there. Thus he would steal. So like that they are enumerating Krishna's stealing activities with great relish, and Yashodama is also relishing. And Krishna would say that I have not stolen. He would not admit his fault. Then Yashodamai would say something and then send all the gopis away. And after that, Yashodamai would give a counseling session to Krishna. Krishna, you are stealing butter from these gopis. And you are son of Nanda Maharaj. He is the king of this place. You are supposed to be the prince. If the prince is going into the citizens' houses and stealing, what kind of shame it is. And Yashodamai is not very much concerned about that. She is more concerned that why Krishna is not satisfied with my butter that he is going and stealing in others' houses. Why I am unable to serve Krishna? That was her concern. And she started saying, why, although I said something and had sent them, but still what you are doing is not very appropriate. Like that, very mildly she is trying to educate Krishna. Meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj comes there. And Krishna jumps into the lap of Nanda Maharaj and then says, see what your wife is saying. She is saying that I am stealing, and she is trusting the neighboring ladies more than me. Like she is chastising me so far. Like that he gives a complaint. Then Nanda Maharaj says, hey, my son is very well behaved. How can you blame? How can you believe the words of some other gopis? Right? You should not chastise my son. Like that Nanda Maharaj supports Krishna. Then Yashodamai says, no, Nanda Maharaj, so this is what has happened, your son is stealing like this. And then Nanda Maharaj wanted to console Krishna only. Then he says, oh, your mother is torturing you, your mother is blaming you unnecessarily, I will beat her. Like that Nanda Maharaj lifts hand. Then Krishna would just immediately jump into Yashodamai's lap, don't do that, Yashodamai's lap, and then somehow he reunites both of them. So like that, this kind of pastimes would keep on happening. And Krishna would go out and then has some leelas with all the gopa boys. And when, how they play in mud. And they also build castles of mud. They'll make some buildings out of mud only. Mud blocks we make, they make with mud only. So like that they construct buildings and then they quarrel with each other. They will speak galleys, all that they will do. And in that, once Krishna ate mud. Then all the gopas and including Balaramji, they came to Mother Yashoda and said, see, Krishna ate mud. Then Yashodami became very anxious about Krishna's health. Then she came and told Krishna, oh, your friends and especially Balaramji, they were saying that you ate dirt. Why did you eat dirt? Don't you have butter? Don't you have milk? Don't you have curd? What is less in your home? Why should you eat dirt? So open your mouth like that. Then Krishna opens his mouth and then he manifests the entire universal form within the within his mouth. And Yashodama was astonished seeing this whole second canto flowcharts in Krishna's mouth. So she even sees herself and also Krishna also. So Yashodama thought, is it some dream or is it some devamaya? And why would the demigods bother to bewilder me, an innocent lady? I mean, she is not aware. She is way beyond the position of these demigods who are managers of this one universe. She is the mother of the lord of millions of universes. So is it some mental derangement? Am I dreaming? Of course, I am not sleeping. How can I dream? It's not a dream. It's not devamaya. It's mental derangement. I'm perfectly okay. I'm healthy. So like that she says, okay, but then finally she says, let me surrender unto the Supreme Lord, who is beyond my words and mental speculation. But being influenced by Maya, I am thinking that I am Nanda Maharaj is my husband and I am queen of Vrindavan, etc. Krishna is my son. She started getting into a little philosophical mood for a while, but Krishna transformed her mood again, back. So this is the transcendental position of Mother Yashoda. The Supreme Master, by the influence of internal potency, Yogamaya inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for Krishna. Although Krishna exhibited such great opulence. So Yashoda forgot the universal form and took Krishna on her lap with her increasing affection. In this context, Sukadeva Goswami gives the Paribhasha Sutra of Krishna Leela. Traya Chopanishadbhischa Sankhya Yogaischa Sattvataihi Upagiyamana Mahatyam Harim Samanya Tatmajam. By studying the three Vedas also and by reading the literature of Sankhya, Yoga and other Vaishnava literatures, Supreme Lord is worshipped. But that Supreme Lord is considered as her own ordinary child by Mother Yashoda. So what is her glory? She is not bothered about his position. She is only bothered about her love towards Krishna. So Parikshit is surprised. Although Krishna is exhibiting such opulence, Yashodama is not at all perturbed. She is not at all considering him great. She is considering Krishna as her own ordinary son, who is supposed to be protected. If one day Yashodama does not feed Krishna, he would be in trouble. He would be dying. So like that, Yashodama is taking care of Krishna. Parikshit is surprised. He asked, what is the reason for this glorious position of Nanda and Yashoda? Nandaha kimakarot brahman sheya evam mahodayam. Yashoda cha mahabhaga papav yasyaha stanam harihi. What auspicious activities did Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mayi do to achieve this position of being the parents of Krishna? And stanam datvapa papav yasyaha stanam harehe. Yashoda Mayi is giving milk to Krishna from her own body. So what kind of glory is that? Then Sukadeva Goswami narrates the story of Dhara and Drona. So they performed some austerities and they received benediction from Brahma that Supreme Lord would become their child. However, that was not the actual answer. That by performing austerities and by receiving a benediction from a demigod, one cannot get Krishna as their son. That cannot be the reason. The reason is Yashoda Mayi and Nanda Maharaj are the eternal parents of Krishna. Their position is unparalleled. By performing any sadhana, one cannot enter into their roles. Right? They can follow in their footsteps. People can assist them in Krishna's service, but they can never replace them. They can never get their positions. That is their eternal position. So, in response to that question, although Sukadeva Goswami casually answered it in the beginning, he wanted to really answer it by narrating this Damodar Leela episode. So, once on a Diwali day, Yashodamayi is wearing a yellowish saffron sari and churning butter from Padmagandha cow's milk so that Krishna would stop stealing butter from other gopis' houses. Kshaumam vasaha prutukatitate bibhrati sutranagdham. Like that Sukadeva Goswami begins this episode. Ekada grahadasishu Yashoda nandagehini. So while churning this milk, Yashodamayi was remembering the activities of Krishna. She was singing the songs about Krishna, Krishna's activities, which she herself composed or she got it composed by some poets. So then meanwhile, Krishna just got up early in the morning and he did not find his mother next to her. And he started crying. He came to the place where Yashodamayi was churning milk and he just climbed on Yashodamayi's lap. Because he need not be invited. Idam asanam Krishnaya namaha, we need not say. Krishna would directly enter the Yashodamayi's lap, is his property. Of course, I have to sit here. Where else I will sit? He just entered, he just sat on the lap of Yashodamayi, and Yashodamayi very happily fed him milk. And Krishna also caught this churning rod so that she would immediately stop churning and attend to him. And Yashodamayi heard the sound of this boiling milk that was overflowing from the kitchen. So she had to protect that milk because that's a very special milk, Padmagandha milk. And she kept Krishna aside and ran to take care of that milk. And she had an intention to come back immediately after keeping that milk safe. But Krishna became very angry. He just picked up some stone and broke the pot and took the butter and started distributing it to monkeys. Meanwhile, Yashodamayi came. And he ran away from there also. And that Krishna's small footprints, butter footprints, were all over the place. Right? That was showing the way where Krishna went. So Yashodamayi came and she saw everything just flowing there. All the contents of the pots were flowing there on the ground. And she understood that it is Krishna's mistake and she started chasing Krishna. So meanwhile, Krishna was distributing butter to monkeys and seeing that Yashodamayi was approaching him, Krishna just jumped and ran away. And he ran towards the main gate so that Yashodamayi cannot come out of the palace, being a queen of Vrindavan. But Yashodamayi did not stop. She went also behind. So finally, Yashodamayi caught Krishna, and then there was a nice conversation between Krishna and Yashodamayi. I'm just cutting short. We need one full day to describe all this. How can you summarize in 5 minutes? So Yashodamayi caught Krishna, and Krishna was very fearful. He said, throw away that stick. But Yashodamayi never wanted to beat Krishna, but she only wanted to rectify his mischievous behavior. So Krishna just argued that he never stole the butter like that, but Yashodamayi thought it wise to just tie him up so that he would not cause more mischief and she can peacefully perform her household activities and to protect him from going to the forest and play with the monkeys. Because Yashodamayi was saying, you are like a monkey. You are always associating with monkeys. Then Krishna said, oh, you are calling me monkey? Then I will go to the forest and be with the monkeys only. I will leave your home. So Yashodamayi was very fearful. Oh, he is so affected. And he is crying so profusely. So she tied him to a grinding mortar. And although she brought so many ropes, still that was not sufficient to bind the belly of Damodar. So finally, Krishna agreed to be bound by Mother Yashoda. So, Yashodamayi could bind. Evam sandarshita hyanga harina bhritya vashyata swavashena api krishnena krishnena yes yedam sheshwaram vashe. So, to exhibit this quality that Krishna is bound by the affection of his devotees, Krishna performed this Damodar Leela. So, this Damodar Leela is a glorification of Mother Yashoda. Nemam varinchona bhavona shirapyanga samsarayaha nayam sukhapo bhagavan dehinam gopika sutaha. These are all great verses in this episode where Krishna is glorifying the process of bhakti and the glory of Yashoda Mai. So then Krishna took this grinding mortar in between the two Arjuna trees and made them fall down. So they collapsed, and two effulgent personalities, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, who were cursed by Narada Muni in their previous situation as sons of Kuvera, so they manifested and they offered prayers to Krishna and then they left. So that is mentioned in the next chapter. So the qualifications of these Kuvera sons were so high. They were the associates of Shiva, they were the sons of Kuvera, they were so wealthy, and they were on the bank of Mandakini River. So Mandakini, but they were misusing that position. They drank liquor and they along with some naked girls, they entered the water of Ganges and they started playing sports there. So Narada Muni came there, the girls tried to cover their bodies, but Nalakuvara and Manigriva, they could not appreciate the presence of Narada Muni, and they actually did not make any arrangements to cover their bodies or respect Narada Muni. So Narada Muni thought that these people became so ignorant, so let them become trees in Vrindavan, so that they get the opportunity to see Krishna's childhood activities in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and then thus get purified. So Narada Muni desired to show them special mercy. And he describes the dangers of having material wealth. Nahiyanyo jushato joshyan buddhi brahmsho rajogunaha srimadad abhijatyadir yattrastri dyutamasavaha. Indeed, there is nothing other than material enjoyment which attracts the intelligence of passionate people other than riches, wealth. So, like that, he elaborates on the benefits of poverty and the disadvantages of being wealthy, material wealth. So poor man is automatically detached, and that detachment is the qualification for liberation. However, every poor man is not a great devotee and every wealthy man is not a non-devotee. So in a general sense, poverty is conducive for spiritual advancement, and lack of material wealth will just facilitate for one's being humble and not becoming very proud of one's material possessions. So then Narada Muni contemplated on the solution that these two sons of Kuvera should become trees in Vrindavan. And finally, they were delivered by Krishna. So, and they offered prayers also to Krishna. Vani gunanu kathane sravanav kathayam hastocha karma sumanastava padayornaha smrityam shirastava nivasa jagat praname drishtihi satam darshanestu bhavastanunam. You know this prayer. So Krishna told the sons of Kuvera, actually Narada Muni was merciful to you. I have just showed my favor to you only because of Narada Muni's desire. Now you can go back home. All your desires will be fulfilled. They circumambulated Krishna and they went. So in the 11th chapter, it begins with how Nanda Maharaj came there and rescued Krishna. He untied the knot of, not tied by this Yashoda Mai. So some people did not believe that Krishna, because of Krishna only these trees collapsed. Although the children were as usual giving the witness. Oh, Krishna just went into the middle of the trees and then he pulled the grinding mortar and the trees fell down. That's how he was thinking. They were reporting, but no one could believe that. So that was the end of Damodar Leela episode. And there is a fruit vendor pastime. Once an aborigine lady, she was selling fruits in exchange of some grains, and Krishna brought some grains to get some fruits, and within his little palms, whatever rice he was holding, so that all fell down while he was walking towards this lady, and hardly any grains were left. But still, that lady filled Krishna's hands with fruits, and in response, Krishna gave her so much of wealth. Her basket was filled with so many jewels, precious jewels. So this is fruit vendor pastime. And Sukadeva Goswami describes more of Krishna's childhood pastimes. So once Krishna and Balaram and all the other boys were playing, and it was already lunchtime, and they were not playing, Mother Yashoda sends Rohini to call them. Rohini comes and calls, but Krishna and Balaram would not come. Then Rohini comes and says, Yashoda, you only go and call. They are not listening to me. Then Yashoda may went. She also called Krishna and Balaram, but they were not coming. So she gave so many reasons. You deserve to be to take bath, and also it is today is Rohini Nakshatra, so you are supposed to distribute charity. This is your birth star, and Nanda Maharaj is waiting for lunch. So like that, she gave so many reasons, but still these people are just playing. Yashodamai went and caught the hands of Krishna and Balaram, and then dragged them to home. That's all. That she can do. No one else can do. So, like that, so many pastimes were happening. And meanwhile, the elderly gopas were alarmed. After the two twin Arjuna trees fell down, elderly gopas had a big meeting. And they said, so many calamities are coming in Vrindavan. Recently, some witch came. Putana came to kill Krishna, then Sakatasur came, then Dranavarta came, and then two trees fell down. Although there was no wind, no one cut them with an axe, there was no storm or no rain, nothing happened. Suddenly they fell down. So it looks like some power is there here that is troubling us, especially attacking Krishna and Balaram. So for their protection, we should immediately shift to Gokul, shift to Vrindavan. So all of them agreed, and just immediately on that day only, they all shifted to Vrindavan. And Krishna and Balaram, along with their mothers Rohini and Yashodamai, they were sitting on bullock carts, and they kept all the cows in front, and the brahmanas and ladies and children were protected, and all the gopas were leading them from Gokul to Vrindavan. So Vrajavasis went to Vrindavan, and all the old men and cow, okay, this I already mentioned. So then Krishna and Balaram were about 3 years old. They were given the charge of calves. So they took young calves and began to tend them. They take them to pasturing grounds and then take care of the calves. And they will play with friends and imitate the animals exactly like human children. So meanwhile, when demon named Vatsasura, he came in the form of a calf and entered the herd of Krishna's calves. Then Krishna recognized it and told Balaramji also. So Krishna went to that calf and caught the calf by his tail and then whirled him around like this, and then that Vatsasura died because of that, and he assumed his huge form. And Krishna just threw him on a kapitta tree, and all the kapitta fruits fell down, and all the gopas enjoyed that fruits also. And another demon named Bakasur came. And Bakasur came and tried to kill Krishna with his beak and swallowed Krishna. And when Krishna went into the throat of Bakasur, although he was cooling and soft like butter, his body, he became like fire in the throat of Bakasur, and then Bakasur spat Krishna. He just came out of Bakasur's mouth, and when Krishna was swallowed by Bakasur, all the gopas and Balaramji became very worried, and they fell unconscious also. So Krishna came out and he bifurcated Bakasura's mouth and he killed Bakasura. So all the gopas came back and reported it to Nanda Maharaj and other gopas. So iti nandadayo gopa krishna rama katham muda kurvanto ramamanasya navindam bhavavedanam. So all the gopas headed by Nanda Maharaj were hearing all the childhood activities of Krishna, and although there were so many demons and other calamities in Vrindavan, still they could never perceive them. Kurvanto ramamanasya navindam bhavavedanam, only because they were absorbed in Krishna katha. So that is 11th chapter. So 12th chapter describes the killing of Aghasur. Once Krishna had a desire to take breakfast in the forest. Generally he takes breakfast and takes all the calves and boys and goes to Vrindavan, goes to the forest. But he wanted to have the breakfast also there only as a picnic. So Yashodamayi made all arrangements and all the gopas came and all of them were going to the forest. And Sukadeva Goswami describes some other activities of the gopas. All the gopas would say, "I will touch Krishna first, I will touch Krishna first," as you did drama that day. Everyone wants to touch Vamsi Krishna Prabhu first. So Vamsi Krishna reports that everybody touched him first. Everybody is winner. So like that they have some competition. So all this you have already enacted. They imitate the boys, they also play flutes, they imitate all the animals of Vrindavan, they imitate the dance of peacocks. So they saw Aghasur. Aghasur is a snake and he is a glorious family member of Bakasura and Putana, Baka and Baki. And this is Agha, see the names. So he just opened his mouth like a huge mountain cave and stood there. And all the gopas got attracted. So all the gopas just went into the mouth. And some gopas were also saying that some fishy odor is coming, and also it must be some serpent or it could be some demoniac spell. We should not enter the mouth, enter this cave, like that they were saying. Then other gopas said that, "Arey, even if there is some danger, Krishna is there now to protect us. So let's go." Krishna is trying to call them, but still all of them went. So Krishna also wondered, what is this Maya? His own energy. So Krishna, finally, to protect all the gopas, he entered the mouth of Aghasur. And he expanded his size and then he just came out of, burst out of this body of Aghasur, because no one was there to watch him anyways. So he expanded his form. So then by the time gopas already died, but Krishna revived them and all the gopas became very happy, and Aghasura's dead body became like a playground for the gopas. Where is this? See, they were all playing, all the gopas and gopis. So, past life, I'll have one summary slide at the end. So, all the demigods were glorifying Krishna. Oh, he killed Aghasura, he killed Aghasura. Then all these glories went to Brahmalok. And Brahma became very surprised. So, he came. So after killing Aghasura, all the gopas were sitting together and nicely having prasad. Then Brahmaji came there to see, and Sukadeva Goswami very beautifully describes how Krishna was able to see everybody around him, although he is sitting in the middle. There are thousands of gopas surrounding him, but he was able to see all of them face to face. All gopas were thinking that Krishna is looking at me only. So like that they were having prasad, and they were also exchanging the food items that they brought from their homes. And while this beautiful exchange between the gopas were going on, Brahmaji came and made all the calves disappear. Then the gopas became anxious of the calves, and Krishna said, "Oh, you should not get up from your food. I will go and search the calves." So Krishna went. And all the gopas, the Brahmaji came and then he made them also disappear. Then Krishna is alone in the forest, no calves, no gopas. So Krishna just manifested as millions of calves and millions of gopas and exactly imitated all their mannerisms and their age and their bodily conception and their bodily complexion and clothes and mannerisms and everything he imitated. And he is only all the calves, he is only all the gopas. So he went back to the village and he entered the each gopa's houses and each calf's cowshed. So Vrajavuka Sam Satokeshu, all the inhabitants of Vraja, for their own sons, their creeper of affection, Sneha Valli, Abdham Anvaham, their affection for their own sons increased in this 1 year. For 1 year, Krishna was acting like the calves and gopas, and in 1 year, whatever may be the growth of that boy, he manifested that much growth only. So, once Balramji noticed, after when the 1 year is about to finish, Balramji noticed that the affection between the gopas and the their sons and the cows and their calves is increasing day by day. Because generally the boys would take care of the calves and the men would take care of their father, would take care of the cows. So once on Govardhan mountain, the calves and generally these two are tended separately, but they could see each other on one day. So all the cows started running towards their calves down the hill of Govardhan, and they started licking the bodies of the calves, and the calves started drinking milk from the cow's udders. And to control them, all the gopas were running behind the cows, and when they saw their own sons there, they also started embracing their sons, and they started smelling their heads, they started displaying their affection. So this unusual affectionate display towards their own sons surprised Balramji. Balramji said, they are loving their sons as if their sons were you. This much love Rajavasis can exhibit towards you, not towards their sons or calves. So how is it possible? Then it was revealed. So Krishna revealed the whole thing to Brahmaji, Balramji. And meanwhile, Brahmaji came. Brahmaji just came in a moment only after disappearing the cows and calves. But it was 1 year in Gokul, Vrindavan. So Brahmaji came, and Brahmaji was thoroughly humiliated by the mystic power and opulence of Krishna. He wanted to show his mystic power and bewilder Krishna, but he himself was bewildered. When a small creature wants to show its own power in front of a more powerful creature, so his own power will be diminished. So just like if deer goes and starts dancing in front of a tiger, oh see, I'm like this, then what will happen? This will happen. So Krishna displayed his opulence in front of Brahmaji. All the gopas and the calves became 400 Vishnu forms. Chindrika Vishadasmeraihi Sarunapanga Vikshitaihi Svakarthanam Iva Rajaha Sattvabhyam Srashtu Palakaha. All these Vishnu forms, by their pure smiling that resembled the Chindrika Vishadasmeraihi, that resembled moonlight. And Sa Aruna Apanga Vikshitaihi, the reddish eyes and sidelong glances are very attractive. Svarthakanam, Svarthanam, Iva Rajaha. So by their sidelong glances and the reddish eyes, so they are bestowing mercy upon their own devotees. They are fulfilling the desires of devotees. Sattvabhyam Sarashtupalakaihi. So Brahmaji could see that wonderful display. Then Brahmaji became so morose, and then Krishna also displayed the opulences of Vrindavan. And Brahmaji fell at the feet of Krishna like a golden rod and offered him obeisances and wonderful prayers. No midyate bravo pushe taditam varaya gunjavatam saparipichala sanmukhaya vanyasraje kavala vetra vishana venu lakshmasriye mrudupade pasubangajaya. We discussed the meaning of this verse several times, so we will not go into details. So all these prayers Brahmaji offers, this is one of the longest set of prayers. 14th chapter is filled with prayers, and at the end Parikshit Maharaj asks a question that how could all these cowherd men love Krishna more than their own sons? So dearness of everything, then Sukadeva Goswami says that one loves oneself the most, but that dearness towards oneself is also because of the reason that soul is a part and parcel of Krishna. So that dearness to Krishna is manifested as dearness to oneself, and dearness to oneself is manifested as dearness to one's body, then bodily relatives, and then possessions, and then country and community, society, nation, etc. But originally attraction is towards Krishna. He is Atmanam Akhilatmanam. Then Samasritaya Padapallavaplavam, for those who have accepted the boat of Lord Krishna, as Krishna's lotus feet, there is no, material existence. The material ocean would become like a calf's hoof print. So any person who hears this pastime of Aghasur Vadha and prayers of Lord Brahma is sure to achieve spiritual desires. So 14 chapters are over. Now 15th chapter. In the 15th chapter, Krishna just entered Pauganda Leela and he began tending cows instead of calves. So he would enter the forest of Vrindavan, and Krishna and Balaram, they praised the trees of Vrindavan, and Krishna enjoyed tending cows and other animals with friends on the banks of Yamuna. They would imitate animals and the ecstasy of bees singing and the parrots, cuckoos, swans and peacock. They would imitate all these birds. And see, this boy is imitating this the bird, and Krishna is imitating this frog. Balaramji is imitating this peacock, and this boy is imitating this monkey. Right, that's how they imitate animals and birds. And Balaramji, sometimes when he gets fatigued, he would place his head on the top of some gopa's lap, and Krishna would start massaging his feet. Sometimes Krishna gets fatigued, and then some gopas would take some leaves and then they fan Krishna, and some other gopa would come and massage Krishna's lotus feet. So like that they serve each other. So like that they were going into the forest of Talwan. So this whole chapter is depicted in these paintings. So in this, at that time, some cowherd boys requested Krishna that not far from here there is a forest named Talwan. There were so many palm trees, and that is being guarded by Dhenuka, a donkey demon. So whoever comes there would be eaten by him. So the donkey is a man-eating donkey. It just eats human beings also. But still we are attracted by the aroma. We are not fearful because you are with us. So if you think it's a good idea, let's go. Let's take some palm trees. So see, gopas are narrating about Dhenukasur and the palm trees there. And all of them just ran towards Talwan. And Krishna and Balaram laughed and set off for Talwan. So Balaramji went there and then started shaking trees. And fruits started falling. And hearing the sound of falling fruits, Dhenukasur came there. Dhenukasur kicked on Balaramji's chest, but Balaramji just caught the hooves of Dhenukasur and wheeled him around and threw him on the top of a tree. So like that, so many other donkey friends of this Dhenukasur came. They were different colorful donkeys. So all of them came there, and Krishna and Balaram together killed all these donkeys. Right? So like that, the whole thing scene became a pool of blood. And Krishna and Balaram did not touch those fruits that fell into the blood, but they took the other fruits which were fresh. So like that, Lord's hair is covered with dust, etc. And then gopis became forward to meet him. So all the gopis drank the beauty of the Lord and gave up distress of separation felt during the day. So Yashoda and Rohini offered them best items according to time. They bathed them, massaged them, dressed them, pampered them, and they lay down. and slept. So this is the regular feature of Vrindavan, typical day. Killing a demon in the forest, tending cows and calves and imitating birds and animals, and then having lunch there and then coming back. And again, they are taken care by mothers and then they would sleep. Next day morning, again go to the forest. So once Krishna and his friends went to Yamuna without Balramji, and they were afflicted by thirst, and then they drank some water, but that water was poisoned because of Kaliya. So they fell down lifeless, and the boys looked at each other with astonishment. They had died, some of the boys, but Krishna came and glanced at them and they came back to life. So after Sukadeva Goswami said this, he continues the pastime in the 16th chapter. So Krishna banished Kaliya from Yamuna river. Now Parikshit Maharaj asked, how is it that Kaliya is living there in that Yamuna lake for so many ages? Who could be satiated hearing the nectarian pastimes of Krishna? I want to hear more, please tell us. Then Sukadeva Goswami responded, this poison of Kaliya literally boiled the waters of that Yamuna lake. So simply by coming in contact with that poisonous breeze, all the vegetation and creatures on the shore died. No bird dares to fly over that lake also. So like that he graphically described the situation at Kaliya lake, and Krishna jumped into the Kaliya lake and he started nicely swimming there. So with every wave of his hand, he is creating agitation in the waters so that Kaliya would get affected. So water is rising so many feet high when this small 6-year-old boy is just swimming there. So then Kaliya came and bound Krishna in his coils. Krishna allowed that to happen. When Krishna was bound in the coils of Kaliya snake, different categories of people in Vrindavan experienced different omens. All the cowherd men and boys, their intelligence became deranged by grief, lamentation, and they fell unconscious. All the bulls, cows and calves, they were in great distress. They cried out piteously to Krishna. They fixed their eyes on Krishna, stood near in fear. And all the demigods also experienced fearful omens. And Vrajavasis in general, they became fearful at the omens and they concluded that Lord must have met with death, Krishna. And Balramji is more composed. He just smiled. He was thinking that Krishna never plays with me. I am Anantasesha and he is playing with this water snake. So Balramji was never concerned about Krishna's protection when Kaliya attacked him, because he understands that Krishna can handle him. But all the Vrajavasis and Gopas and elderly Gopis, they became very perturbed, and then they ran towards this Kaliya lake following the footprints of Krishna, and they stood on the lake. Krishna allowed himself to be bound by the coils of Kaliya for a long time, 48 minutes, one muhurta. Although he had the ability to release himself, he did not do so because he wanted to taste this intensified, intensified love of Krishna in all the Vrajavasis. All the Vrajavasis, they generally love Krishna with great affection, but still, when Krishna is in danger, the intensity of their love increased and Krishna is tasting that. So when they were on the verge of dying only because of separation from Krishna, Krishna thought, okay, let me not prolong this scene. So let me pacify the gopis. Let me pacify the gopas. Let me pacify the cows and other animals of Vrindavan by releasing myself from the coils of Kaliya. He just came out and then stood on Kaliya's hoods and started dancing. Every hood is just coming up and then Krishna is subduing it. Right? So like the thousands of hoods, and the hoods of snake are very slippery, and Krishna is dancing with proper steps, not like an erratic dance like someone who is intoxicated does. It's like a proper dance, Kuchipudi, Kathakali or Bharatanatyam or whatever. So he is dancing properly on the slippery hoods of Kaliya, which were trying to bite Krishna at every second. That's even more dangerous. and the stage is not proper. So then finally Krishna subdued all the pride of Kaliya, and all the wives of Kaliya came there and begged forgiveness, and they offered beautiful prayers, this Nagapatni prayers. Here also comes Nanaka Prushtam, Nacha Sarvabhaumam, all those come. So these are the prayers of Nagapatnis. We will not discuss the details. So this Kaliya represents this brutal cruelty and treachery. This we will discuss later. So in the 17th chapter, at the request of Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami describes the past history of Kaliya. So this Kaliya was very arrogant. So Garuda became very, actually Garuda was taking some snakes for his food at Ramanaka Dvipa. So all the, there was a meeting and it was arranged that this snakes would offer something to Garuda on their own. So then Kaliya's, when Kaliya's turn came, Kaliya took all those offerings for himself and then said, why should I unnecessarily offer this to Garuda? I will not offer. Then Garuda became very angry and rushed towards Kaliya with tremendous speed, and then there was a little fight, and Kaliya attacked Garuda with the weapon of his fangs and bit him. And finally, when the fight was going on, Kaliya just immediately ran and took shelter of this lake of Yamuna. And Garuda cannot come to this lake. He can come, but he respected the words of Sobhari Muni, right? So because that's there's another background. So Kaliya, this Garuda is taking some fish there, and then Sobhari just took this whole thing in his hands and then said, oh Garuda, you are taking fish. How dare you do this when I am staying in this? So you can immediately, if you come here, you will die. So like that he cursed. Sobhari Muni cursed. Then Garuda just respected this curse of this Brahmana, although he's not obliged to, and then he left. But because of that offense to another Vaishnava, this Sobhari Muni was distracted from his spiritual practices, and then he married 50 daughters of Mandhata, that we have seen in the 9th canto. Although forbidden by Sobhari Muni, Garuda took courage, feeling hungry, seized the fish in the lake. So seeing unfortunate situation of the fishes, Sobhari Muni uttered a curse. This only I have just described. So like that, Kaliya was subdued, and then Krishna came out of the lake, and there was a reunion of Vrajavasis. And all the Vrajavasis, because their love for Krishna was so, became so intense on the bank of Kaliya lake, they never wanted to go back home. When they came from their homes, they never locked their doors, they never took care of their belongings there. But now, after seeing Krishna, they never wanted to go back to their homes also. Let's stay here only, on the bank of Yamuna. We got such intimate association of Krishna, we don't want to leave this whole scene, this whole ambience is surcharged with love of Krishna, we want to be here only. So all the gopas stayed there, gopis stayed there, all the animals stayed there on the bank only. Then there was a big forest fire. So all the gopis and gopas took shelter of Krishna, and then Krishna swallowed that forest fire and saved the Vrajavasis. So in the 18th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami said, surrounded by beautiful companions, Krishna and Balram entered Vraja, and summer arrived. So then he described the beauty of Vrindavan during summer also. So, and he described other playful pastimes of Krishna and Balram in this summer. So they decorated themselves with newly grown leaves, peacock feathers and garlands, and Krishna danced and sang, and they also play this musical instruments, and they just swing on the swings like that. They enjoy. They are all different paintings that depict the pastimes of Krishna and Balram in Vrindavan. So once they were playing some game, and Pralambasura, he came in the form of a gopa. And they had a competition, this tug of war, right? So, and in that game, in that competition, whoever loses the game has to carry the members of the other team on their backs. So Krishna's team lost and Balaram's team won. And Pralambasura, in the form of a false Gopa, he was in Krishna's team. So Pralambasura agreed to carry Balaramji. And other Gopas just climbed on the backs of other winners. And Pralambasura took Balaramji to a different place. His intention is, let me kill Balaramji first. After that, killing Krishna would become easy. Then he manifested his original form. And Balaramji, with a just one fist, he just killed Pralambasura. Thus killed him. Now 19th chapter describes another episode. When all the cowherd boys were playing, the cows went deep inside the forest. Then all the gopas became very worried about the cows. So they felt distressed. They were searching. How were they searching? They were tracing the footprints of the hoof prints of the cows. So they found the cows at Munjara forest. And at that time, forest fire took place. And everyone was very fearful. And Krishna said, my dear Gopas, just close your eyes. I'll do the needful. And all the Gopas closed their eyes. So it didn't make much sense if you use your logic. But Gopas had that simple innocence and faith on Krishna's words. They just closed their eyes. Then they opened the eyes and they saw that no fire is there. Because Krishna swallowed that forest fire. And the cows were protected. So this first forest fire represents quarrel between Vaishnavas and envy towards other sampradayas. Second forest fire represents disturbances in the practice of religious principles, the disturbance caused by atheists. So this is a list of all the demons and what do they represent. Putana represents a pseudo-guru because she came in the form of a false mother. Sakatasura represents the burden of old habits. One has to pray to Krishna so that he can kick away this burden of old and new habits and lethargy. Trinavarta represents false pride of material scholarship. And Kuvera's sons, they represent arrogant pride of opulence. Vatsasura, childish mentality. Bakasura, cunning duplicity and deceptiveness. Then Aghasura represents cruelty and violence towards. See, so many gopas are there and then Aghasura wanted to kill all of them. Aghasura's intention is more malicious compared to many other demons there. So many targeted Krishna, but Aghasura wanted to kill all the calves and all the gopas so that all the cows and gopis and gopas in Vrindavan, they will die. Entire cowherd community should die. That was his desire. That is cruelty and violence. Brahma Vimohan Leela represents mundane activities and speculative scholarship. Dhenukasura represents gross materialistic intelligence. Then Kaliya represents brutality. First forest fire, intercommunal discord. There could be quarrel between Vaishnavas and envy towards other sampradayas, envy towards demigods. That is represented by first forest fire. Pralambasura represents lust. So he represents desire for subtle sex and woman hunting and cunningness and cheating propensity. And second forest fire represents atheism. 20th chapter, we had a more meditative session where every analogy is shown in the image form and then discussion was there. So we'll not read that, we'll not revise that 20th chapter. Thank you all very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments, questions? Yes, Anil Prabhu. I completed before time. Allah started.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
During the discussion of this 20th chapter, someone has asked the question of, like, you know, the affection of Mother Yashoda towards a child. That is like normal. Mother has affection towards a child. So the speaker answered that the same question will be asked by Parikshit Maharaj in some later chapters. But which is that chapter? I mean, is this
14th chapter, 14th chapter end. At the end of 14th chapter, why so many Vrajavasis are loving Krishna more than their own selves, more than their own sons? Krishna is someone else's child.
Correct.
So what was the question?
Question
why
is...
Why Yashodamayi loved Krishna more?
No, no. Like, you know, these the affection which we see between Mother Yashoda and Krishna, that is between a mother and a child, is normal. In this, you know, material world also, if you see, affection between a mother and child is usual. So what is great thing in that?
So Yashodamayi is the eternal mother of Krishna. And even when Krishna grew up so much, her affection towards Krishna never diminished. If you actually see the mothers in this material world, their affection in the infancy of the son and in the childhood, boyhood, youthhood, middle age, old age, gradually starts diminishing. But Yashodamayi's affection towards Krishna is eternal. It's there since time immemorial, and it continues to exist for the rest of eternity, not subjected to any conditions. As soon as the, what to say, daughter-in-law comes into picture, will the mother love the son as good as what she used to before marriage? It's quite uncommon, right? So, and also sometimes there is an expectation that in future he might take care of me. So these are all various material aspects of motherly affection in this world. But that is the purest love available, right, in this material world, mother's love towards child. But definitely that love towards a child is no way in comparison with Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna. It may resemble at least in the initial days, but it's not like that. So it's not that only Yashodamayi loves Krishna in a motherly mood in Vrindavan. All the mothers of Vrindavan, all the Vrajavasis, they love Krishna more than their own children and more than their own selves. So in the purest state of the soul loves Krishna more than anyone else, including himself. That is the purest state. So that is the speciality. Anything else?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about different demons, what they represent. So I was feeling for the Bakasur, it is how cheating propensity, right? But then if seeing the activities of Bakasur, in fact Vatsasur, it fits very well. Is there some...
Someone else also asked. We need to actually go deep. I didn't read. I only got these comparisons from the books. But why he compares like that? Some are obvious. Some are not that obvious. We need to study more deeply. I am not aware. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Rajin, when Nanda Maharaj distributed the all like cows and property, birth of Krishna, so it seems that he was big rich king, so much property is there, he is a king. So when they shifted in one day with the bullockers, so all the crops and property one day they shifted,
correct. That's what is mentioned in Bhagavatam. They shifted very immediately. They had so many bulls, so vehicle department is not needed so much, bulls will take care. Anything else? Okay, thank you.